Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hello.
Well, hello, Mr. Thomas. How are you?
Hello, Mr. Schneider.
Well, happy Throwback Thursday.
Was this it? Are we on?
This is it. Folks, let me tell you what is going on right now, just so you all understand. I am in tech for Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, and we are doing like multiple hour days.
So good. Such a great score.
I am literally in the tiniest room right now recording this. So this is going up a little bit late. I am on a dinner break. Kevin, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing better than you, Rob. Although you're probably doing amazing because you're living in the world that we love so much. But you're in the tech part of it, which is actually sometimes a little stressful. So how are things going?
It looks gorgeous.
Listeners, we truly have not – like. When he called is the first time I've actually talked to him, to be perfectly honest. So I don't get to have the subliminal messages. Maybe you'll text me and tell me what's really going on. No, how's it going, Rob? Are all things coming together? Are we having fun?
Yes. At first, the actors are doing fantastic. It's beautifully designed. It looks gorgeous. We'll post photos for everyone. I'm a little upset that the kid playing Lawrence has not gotten sick yet, so I could step on for him. But that's, you know.
I know that you're like off book.
I told him I was off book.
You're so frozen. You're done.
Call me Miss Birdseye because I'm frozen. So as much as I would love to stick around and talk, I have to go and take a look and make sure that everything is working.
Although
I was going to say one of my favorite things, Kevin sent me a photo of his little baby playing. Uh-oh. He looks so cute. He looks like me in a dance class. he's literally on his back with his feet up in the air and a head.
Oh, Crawford, he loves music and he's a smiler, let's just say.
Oh wow.
He'll post pictures and follow me or whatever and you can see pictures of my sweet little boy. Anyway, Rob, what is your favorite thing?
What is my favorite thing? Oh my God. Well, Kevin, I do have there were so many to choose from this week, but I'm going to choose this one, my friends, because
really?
Kevin is always like, we're going to run out of favorite things. We're going to run out of favorite things. I'm like, Kevin,
you're like, oh, I've got so many. Oh, I'm so busy. And yet I still was able to have so many favorite things that
Kevin Marie Thomas, Kevin Marie, the baguettes, hurry up, Thomas.
No. What is it?
Did you not like that?
No, I liked it. I didn't get it, really.
What? Beauty and the Marie, the baguette. Hurry up.
Yep. There it is.
That's a little Beauty and the Beast for you. Well, friends, so I don't know how this is starting to make the rounds again, but it is. And I was like, this has never been a favorite thing. And I'm kind of living for its campiness. So, friends, if you have not seen this yet, I would like you to go and take a look at this. You're going to go into YouTube. You are going to go into the YouTube search engine.
Right?
You
are going, doing it.
You are going to type in Lauren Bacall. Do you know what this is?
The commercial. You're doing it, aren't you?
This is my favorite thing.
You guys, just pause right now.
Just do it.
Swipe up, mom. Swipe up, and then like go to your search. Go to Safari. Just type it in.
You'd be very
resume this episode after you've watched it. go ahead, Rob. Thank you.
So, friends, as you know, Lauren Bacall was a great, great film actress and a great stage actress who lost an Oscar in the mid-90s to, I think, somebody from The English Patient for her... Lauren Bacall did a brilliant performance in The Mirror Has Two Faces, directed by Barbara Streisand, better known as Why Am I Not Attractive? And Lauren Bacall should have won the Oscar that year and didn't win. I don't know who won. It was some, like, you know, Merchant Ivory person. But Lauren Bacall should have won the Oscar that year. Now, Lauren Bacall, before all of this, in the early 80s, had to make some extra cash. You know, she had just done Applause on Broadway, Welcome to the Theater, with her raspy voice, and then had done Woman of the Year, I Am Woman.
Jesus!
Thank you, filling in the blank. So at some point in the early 80s, Lauren Bacall was like, I need some money. I live in the Dakota, and I don't have money, and I'm working on becoming a soprano.
Sounds an awful lot like Liza impersonation.
No, I am getting better. How dare you, sir? How dare you?
That was just for the listeners. Hey, go ahead.
Guys, if anyone wants to Liza Minnelli impression, I would really appreciate that. Okay. So anyway, so Miss Bacall did a commercial for High Point Coffee, which is a decaf coffee that I'm assuming tasted like shit. Because if you watch her in these commercials, you can easily tell she's like, I hope the check doesn't bounce.
And it's a stirring coffee. It's the kind you pour it in hot water and you stir it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the dissolvable coffee.
But all she wants to talk about is I can't even do an impression of it, but the flavor. It's like, she goes, it's rich, it's smoky, the flavor.
Now that's good.
So anyway, what I love is it's always like her at a rehearsal studio or on like a Broadway
stage. She's on stage. She's like walking stage left and it's like, well, clear for the day. We're done and out. And then she's like, oh, I'm just going to the break stand and getting my coffee that I'm having at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's when she goes to her dressing room, which is 3 inches away from the stage. She's like, let's take a break. And she like goes in, and I'm like, first of all, you have not made your own.
Are you stage manager? Yeah,
you're not stage manager. You can't do that. First of all, she's getting written up for these commercials because it's obviously a put in for Woman of the Year. Because Harry Gordino's like, I'm not going on stage with her anymore.
Looking at his watch, he's like, it's like 10:45. Why isn't she?
I love Harry. I love when I kiss him. The flavor.
Isn't there one where she's in the taxi or like a limo or something? Oh, isn't she like in a limo?
A limo picks up to like, and she's like sitting in the back in a mink coat. And I'm like, when have you ever gone to the theater for a performance wearing a mink coat and a sequin dress? You are wearing some capris and a sweatshirt that says TKTS. I know you, Lauren Bacall. Meanwhile, you can even tell in the commercial, the coffee literally looks like somebody like grabbed mud into a mug and was like, there you go, Miss Bacall. Yeah. I love it. The flavor. And it's decaffeinated because
it's like in her teeth. Sorry.
She's like, sometimes I get jittery. So after you watch these commercials, I then need you to go to a website called Decider.com, Decider.com, and just type in Lauren Bacall, because this person wrote, a guy named Tyler Coates in 2014 wrote a fucking dissertation on these commercials and how good these commercials are. After you have done that and watched her in a limo drink, first of all, have you ever tried to like drink something in a New York while driving in a New York City street? It flies all over you. I'm looking at it right now. She's got her High Point, which is really a Jiffy peanut butter can with a different label on it, and a lamp. I'm like, how is she doing this? How are you driving in the city, Miss Bacall, and you're drinking at the same time? The flavor inspires me. But then this got posted a couple of days ago, folks. I don't know who this person is.
Drama.
It's a YouTube channel called Miss Sherry Vine, MissSherryVine. Miss Sherry Vine most recently just did a parody of Lauren Bacall's High Point Coffee called Low Point Coffee and posted it a few days ago. Miss Sherry Vine, I don't know who you are, but you are absolutely hysterical. You can come sit by me anytime you want. So take a look at Miss Sherry Vine, Lauren Bacall, Low Point Coffee, then read the article on Decider about Lauren Bacall, High Point Coffee, and then take a look at the actual commercials with Lauren Bacall, High Point Coffee. And if you come see Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and you go, why is this show a piece of shit? It's because I was too busy watching the High Point commercials.
It's a three-stepper. You get to like go to the next level with this favorite thing. I really enjoy that.
Or if you come see the show and you're just up all night going, why was this show so brilliant? And you need to calm down, High Point. It'll low you. With the flavor.
Well, Well done. Well done.
Tell Marilyn Cooper she's stepping on my laughs.
Stop laughing so much. Yeah,
that's
so
fine. Sorry.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
No, it's fantastic. So speaking of threes, I don't know if that was a good transition or not, but if you guys remember, we were talking a little bit a month or two ago about the musical Three, and I remembered it as something that I was indelible in my music listening. And I've done a little research, and that's my favorite thing this week is a little information about the musical Three. What, Rob, it's so interesting because this musical Three, it's one of those shows that it was a one act piece. It was three different musicals written by three different teams. I can't think of many shows that were like that other than like The Apple Tree, but that was the Bach and Harnack.
Yes.
They wrote three different, you know, pieces. They were still the writers of all three of them. Same director all for Mike Nichols for all of it, you know, whatever. But this is a piece that was done at the Prince Music Theater in Philadelphia in 2000.
Yes.
And it was to open the new space that this theater has developed. You know, they develop new works and all of that. So they have a new space. This is the inaugural piece for it. The idea is to have three different one-act musicals written by three different emerging musical theater teams, and it would open up this theater space. Yeah, right. And it's called the Prince Music Theater because it honors, obviously, Harold Prince, Hal Prince, our good friend that we unfortunately never got to talk to. He directed the third piece of this trilogy. But I'm fascinated, Rob. It just as it came up, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was just random, and I said, you know, don't you remember this? And no, and people don't remember it because it's not licensed. As a whole, this one-act piece called Three. Now, if you were to Google it, you would Google literally the number three, then H-R-E-E, which is kind of a fun little thing, and it's very obvious what it is, and you're going to Google it, and the musical pops up right away. And each of these three pieces – two of them are licensed on their own right because the writers have fleshed them out as musicals in the ensuing years. But in 2000, when this was produced, they really thought this was going to go to Broadway. They really, honestly, Barry Brown, our previous guest, yes. And I don't think we talked to him about this because obviously it never came to fruition, and we don't have a Broadway production of Three, the one intermissionless three act musical of three different people. No, I say intermissionless because it's important because in between the different pieces. Now, first of all, it was a company of like something like 10 or 11, 12 people, Jessica Mulaski, John Shearer, people that, you know, we know in a bunch of different shows. They played all the parts in all three musicals. But the big catch that every reviewer, if you go back and look at a review of the show at the Prince Music Theater, or it went to Amundsen on its travels to Broadway, which never actually came to fruition, but went to the Amundsen in LA. But every reviewer talks about how, and they think it was Hal Prince's idea, that there were dressing booths upstage of the scenery. So in between each set or each act of the play, even though there was no intermission, you watch the actors go off stage, they go up, they'd become another character. And then they would come on and they'd perform act two or the lawn. And so the three acts are The Mice, Lavender Girl, and The Lawn Chair Man. And you might say, oh my goodness, I've never heard of this, or some of you guys have definitely heard of this, but the three shows were written by, first one, The Mice, by Lawrence O'Keefe and Nell Benjamin, who gave us Legally Blonde, and Julia Jordan doing the book.
Julia Jordan. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And so this was one of Larry O'Keefe's first scores. He did Bat Boy right before this, even though it had not been done in off-Broadway yet. It was still – he had already written Bat Boy, and this was one of his first scores after that. And this was based on a short story and just a couple songs, and it's about a guy who is an exterminator, and he's married, and he's also has an affair with another woman, a love affair, and they – I know, scandal – and they say in the breakdown, in the synopsis, there are not a happy marriage for either of them. And so everyone has mice except, you know, when he goes to exterminate, he has a couple hours alone with to make this affair, whatever. And so the musical circles about that. And then at the end, they pop the canister with the poison and they dance together and go off and live in their life that they wish that they could live, escaping the world they live in. The second one is by John Buccino called Lavender Girl.
Oh, I love John Buccino.
Yeah, me too. And if you, you guys, it's been a favorite thing, but it's worth remembering that Grateful and It's Only Life are two albums of his songs. He's a great cabaret artist. He's given us some musicals, one of them on Broadway, and he's a fantastic artist.
That lights your face, it cracks me up. Love me in your eyes. And then Brooks Ashman-Sankis is gonna. Oh, yeah, Liza.
Well, there's two different persons. The one on the Grateful album, it's her and Billy Stritch, and that's the arrangement that you sang. And then there's the Jason Robert Brown beatbox dance break in the middle of. And guys, is it awkward? I don't know.
I'm uncomfortable.
Just go listen.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
Put a smile. It's Only Life. And just get back to me on that one. But speaking of not enunciating, Patti LuPone actually covered Dancing, the song from Lavender Girl, what this musical is about, the second act musical of this three show. So John Buccino, it's not starring Patti LuPone, but she actually sang on the song. But it's about a young man going to a party. Going to like a dance party. It's like 1920s picture, and he meets this girl on the way in a lavender dress. Falls in love with her. He's like a playboy, but she kind of brings him down to earth. And then they leave after the party, and turns out she's actually a ghost, and he's fallen in love with a ghost. But that's yeah. And then he meets the mom and all that. It's a lot happens in 20 minutes. And then the last act is The Lawn Chair Man, which is by a composer that I think. We know John Buccino. We know Larry O'Keefe. I think we need to spend more time talking about Robert Lindsay Nassif, N-A-S-S-I-F, and a book by Peter Ullian, U-L-L-I-A-N, The Flight of the Lawn Chair Man, a fantastic piece. This is the one that Hal Prince directed. Now, Robert Lindsay Nassif won the Richard Rodgers Award at one point for another show that he did off-Broadway called Opal. And then he also wrote a show when I was in college, done at the Cleveland Playhouse, called Elliot Ness in Cleveland. This was in like 1998, 1999. I know. And it's – The Lawn Chair Man is a very kind of funky little – it was based on an idea by one of the writers. And it's about a man who lives in New Jersey who wants to fly. And his dream is to fly away. So he has a lawn chair and he puts balloons on, helium balloons, and he flies away. And they've got a pilot from a 747 who's flying and reacts to this. And you've got the man, as he's sailing away, he encounters Da Vinci, who did the helicopter, Amelia Earhart, and his experience of interacting with them and realizing that he needs to fulfill his dreams and keep on sailing. I mean, obviously, he can't sail forever, but the idea is it's a musical, so he just goes off into the ether. So as a whole, all three of them are about escaping your reality. And we don't talk about this show. It's Robert Lindsay Nassif and Peter Ullian wrote Flight of the Lawnchair Man as a full length musical. You can license that. I believe The Mice, you could license that. I don't know about Lavender Girl by John Buccino, but what I find fascinating is that at one time these were one act musicals. We don't. It was not a license, so we don't hear it. You can get the cast recording. It's on all of your streaming devices. I would definitely – these scores, you guys, they're amazing. They're really, really well written. They're really well done. They tell the story. They are smart. They are – but because we don't see productions of these shows – it's one of those shows that you lose it. It's not, there's no reason for people to listen to it because there's no productions being done. And yet the listener who appreciates musical theater, who's never heard of this, I definitely guarantee you will get a lot out of it. They're wonderful. It's a wonderful score. It's smart. And what I like about it is I'm surprised we have not done more of this. Hal Prince's whole idea was he wanted to showcase new artists. So all three got this showcase with Hal's name on top of it to like really sell it. But two out of three went on to really great things. And oh yeah, the director of the second one was, you know, Scott Schwartz, who directs all the time.
Oh my God, yeah. He's a great director.
It's really interesting to me that this piece, while you can't do it as it was done, it really is special in itself. And so, yeah. So listen to the cast recording of three. That's the number three, H-R-E.
Oh, that was a fabulous one, Kev.
Why? Thank you. Do you know the music? Have you ever listened to it, Rob? I mean,
you know what? I have not. I don't think I have listened to this.
It shows that does truly slip through the cracks, and because it's an emergent, it's almost like you hear their thesis project from, you know, you've done those NYU grad writing.
So it's
in a way, it almost feels like this is their sort of introduction to musical theater. It's not going to, and yet to see the snapshot and to hear such talent, it's definitely a refresher. And it's really nice to hear the talent and to hear it, you know, before Legally Blonde and Heathers and all the other shows that
you know what? I'll probably go home and listen to it tonight.
I'm amazed that you have space in your brain for that, Rob, because you're going to literally leave. We got to get off. I mean, there's no time because you've got to go back down to rehearsal right now.
They don't need me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm going to sit up in this tiny little janitor's closet and listen to three.
All right, guys. Next time you see me, hear us, I will have seen the show on Friday. I can't wait to talk about it. You're going to hear all about it. I'm sure it's amazing.
Oh, my show. I was like, what show are you seeing on Friday?
And it'll be Thanksgiving.
What if we'll give it a bad review?
No way. We got nothing but love here.
Oh, you're so kind. All right. Till next time.
Bye, buddy. Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.